law, friends. Yeah. Where have I been? That's a great question. Very valid. I recorded a show with Sugar, and for whatever fucking reason, Podbean, usually what Podbean is supposed to do when you record something is they will send the creator, me, aka me, a voice recording of only me, only Sugar, and the two of us together. But that almost has never ever happened. I don't know that that's ever happened once until the day that we recorded, where I only got my own voice, and then Sugar got herself locked out of her account and couldn't retrieve it to send me her copy of the recording that was only her, so I could have mashed it together. And since then, I've just had no desire to do this because it was an hour that we just, you know, we enjoyed our talk and everything. I really enjoy talking to Sugar whenever I get the chance, but I just felt like, all right, well, fuck this, I guess, then, forever. And yeah, that's where I wound up. That's why I haven't done anything, because I've been dealing with frustration. I have a lot of feelings right now, guys. I have a lot of emotions, lots of things I'm thinking about. I just got back from Mexico. We were very lucky, and we went to Cancun instead of any Christmas gifts or dumb shit like that, because my house is full of dumb shit like that, and I don't want anything else in my house. I have so many hand-me-downs that we get from another person, and like, I just feel overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that we have. I really like the idea of traveling, and like, we had a great time. It was all inclusive. Yeah, I may have overindulged in the alcohol department. Here's the problem with all inclusives, okay? I really think that there is little to no alcohol, really, at all by the pool. I think all of that stuff is watered down. I really don't think it's foolproof alcohol. Whatever, in my opinion, I'm a lightweight when it comes to drinks. Didn't feel a thing, hardly at all. Until we went to a restaurant, a seafood restaurant, where I indulged in, I think I had 3 glasses of white wine, which I don't usually drink. I have a 2-drink maximum. Why, you may ask? Well, the first time we were in Mexico together as a family, I was 35, okay? And I drank to excess, and I hammered my chest against the toilet over and over and over again. I woke up and my chest was bruised. And I thought to myself, I'm never having more than 2 drinks again. And I've held fast. I've done well overall. Last year when we were in Mexico, I think there were nights where I had 3 or 4 beers, which I can handle. I can handle that kind of alcohol. But the problem is, I think I'm drinking all day long, like a little bit at a time, but I'm really not drinking much of anything except for Sugar by the pool, because I don't think there's alcohol in those drinks, or very little. Now we get to dinner, and I should have known when I stopped wanting to eat anything, because I love to eat. And at all-inclusives, I really love to eat. I am pounding back shit like you would not fucking believe. Yeah, drank too much, and then they had an arcade there, so Malcolm and I, who is very close to 12, very tall suddenly, and, you know, he's very withdrawn. I feel like he's in his phone a lot, like, it's obsessive, and we've taken steps to cut that out, because he just wanted to be in the room on the phone and swim here and there. In his defense, though, I was not monitoring the sunscreen situation, and both my kids got bad burns on their faces. Yeah. Okay. Mother of the Year was really great. Anyway, Malcolm and I are in the arcade, and I am suddenly very fun. I'm having a great time. We're shooting baskets. We're trash talking each other. They had one of those basketball games where it counts how many baskets you shoot. Playing pool. I'm aiming at one ball, and then my stick is going far left, like not even hitting the cue ball. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I know it's coming. And I was like, Malcolm, we got to get the fuck out of here, dude. He's like, why? I'm like, I'm going to barf. He's like, why? We're having fun. And as though he was surprised that I could be capable of fun. And that's what I knew. I was too far gone. I was too fun. I had too much fun. I was too much fun. I was going to vomit. It was just going to happen. And then I got kicked out. One of the ladies comes up to me and she's like, you have to leave. And I was like, oh my God, am I that drunk? Am I unruly? I haven't been kicked out of any place in a long time. She said, well, family time is over. Now it's just for people who are 13 to 17. And I'm like, are you kicking me out of here because I'm too old? And she said, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, that's kind of nice. I don't mind. Then we went back up. This makes me laugh so hard. Okay. We're in the hallway, and very frequently I'll be like, okay, let's race, you know, in any capacity. And I get beaten. Like, I am not fast. I'm not fast on the on a sprint. And Malcolm's running away from me in the hallway, and he likes to run. Like, okay, keep in mind, he's my height, okay? He's got a size men's 9.5 shoe on someone that's like 5'2". I'm like maybe 5'3". And that's a lot of shoe for such a short body. Like, I really hope he gets taller, because otherwise that's going to be a little ridiculous. And he runs like Phoebe on Friends. Do you remember that? Just like, you know, his arms are swinging everywhere. His legs are going everywhere. His feet are in different directions. And it's a wonder that he has not fallen down. And I had to stop and laugh, because he's not, it's just not a coordinated run. You know, it's fast. It's getting the job done, but it's not coordinated. Anyway, it was great. It was like he was a little kid again, and it made me laugh. I really like that. Okay, we get up to the room. I walk in, and, you know, I'm not one for staying up late. I think it was probably close to 9:30 at that point. And I walk in, I'm like, Sarah, I'm in a barf, man. She's like, what do you mean? Did you have that much to drink? I'm like, yeah, I think I did. She's like, take a Tums, lay down. Okay, I took a couple Tums. I laid down, let's say, for 3 minutes, and then I got the bed spins, and I was like, nope, I'm going to barf. And let me tell you, I've barfed a lot in my life, like whether due to alcohol consumption or flus. I don't think I've ever barfed up habanero before, and I don't recommend. That's like, that's a hard no. Real hard no there. Did not, but I mean, I felt like I deserve this. I walked out of there, and like, I don't want to be gross, but the bathroom there, very nice place, but the bathroom, for whatever reason, it smelled like low tide. It smelled like, I want to say something really bad about strippers, but I'm not going to. Use your imagination. Okay. Those days are over. Even though I kind of indulged on that statement, those days are over. It smelled bad. I'm going to just say it smelled bad. It smelled like old fish and salt water. And every day since that day, I think I threw up on Wednesday, every single day that we stayed there till we left, I could not stand to be in that bathroom. It was so brutal. I had to put my nose under my shirt, you know, and then it was fine. I did okay. I threw up. I went to bed. 3 o'clock in the morning rolls around. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to barf again. And I go into the bathroom. I dry heaved a few times. Then I had explosive diarrhea, which was also nice. I'm 44 years old. 44, everyone. 44 years old. It's a great moment for me. And then, yeah, morning rolls around. Sarah was merciful. She let me sleep in. And before they left for the day, I went to the bathroom, and then I came out. And I'm like, that bathroom stinks. And she went over there, and she's like, it just kind of smells like BO. And I'm like, you know, if my vagina, like, look, okay, I'm a smelly person. Like, I am a shower every day kind of person. I stink on a good day. If my vagina smelled like low tide and sewage, I think I would know. Like, I know, BO, you're the last person to realize that you stink. But I think, having had some experience with vaginas, I would realize that that was coming out of me. And it kind of like, but I mean, really, wouldn't she know? If my vagina, because apparently my vagina smells like low tide. Apparently. That was her desertion. She discerned. I don't know. Look, it's early. Okay, I've been up since 5:30. It's now 9. Yeah, her guess was that it was my vagina that smelled like that. But it wasn't, because it smelled like that before I even took my pants off. Okay? All right, everybody? I think that's verbal abuse. That's what I think. Anyway, yeah, that next day was a wash. Wasn't too hungry. I didn't drink any more on that trip, not any more alcohol. I could not, just even now still, I'm not there yet. That was a real brutal one. And like, I don't drink. What, who the fuck do I think I am? My theory is that I thought I had built up some kind of tolerance because of the drinks around the pool, and wine, don't lie, y'all, wine is always pretty close to 15%. Anyway. All right. So the trip was great. I have one more short story to tell you about the trip. We went on an excursion. Like, we were at the resort the whole time, and that resort was, I'm going to say, in the middle of swampland. We're driving up there, and it's like, wow, this, like, there is no city. Like, we are driving to the middle of fucking nowhere. And the guy driving is like, oh, there's alligators here. Or did he say crocodiles? I can't remember. It's one of the two. And we're like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, don't worry. The resort will put up a fence. I'm sure they have a fence so that you can go into the ocean. Oh, yeah. Cool. First day we're there, the lifeguard is blowing the shit out of his whistle, kicking everyone out of the ocean because there was an alligator sighting, or maybe crocodile. I don't know. I don't know the difference. And yada, yada, yada. Nobody wanted to go into the ocean after that. None, not a one of us. And I heard another guy who actually saw the crocodile alligator say it was 9 feet long. A nice little. I should have sent Stella over there, wrestle that fucking thing to the ground, choke it out. She could have done it. A lot of Americans that alligator could have snacked on. No one was rude or anything, though. It was a very nice trip. We had a good time. We did go on an excursion. That's what I was trying to get to. Yada yada yada. No one wanted to go into the ocean because everybody wanted to live, and so we stayed in the pool for the most part. But we went on this excursion. Sarah bought one for us that was like a. What did we start doing? We went to see some Mayan ruins in Tulum, which was pretty cool. Stella Bobella, Alpha Gela Momella was like not into that. She can. Okay, there's like a poem that goes something like, "There once was a girl with I'm gonna butcher this because I'm tired. With a curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. When she was bad, she was horrid." Okay, that's the poem that Sarah's mom uses to describe her, and I think it applies to my beautiful daughter as well. When she is good, she is very, very good. But when she is bad, she is horrid. She was not like her and I were going to stay back at the resort until she found out that there was going to be swimming. She loves to swim. We're going to be in some kind of underground cave, and then there was going to be snorkeling in a lagoon. She's like, "I want to go at the last minute." So Sarah went and bought us two tickets. And like, look, I'm not fun. Not in any regard, in any way. I'm not adventurous. I can't swim. I'm claustrophobic. Hate horses. Like I don't dance. Like I don't know why anyone would want to spend any extended time with me because I'm fucking annoying and I'm boring and I'm lame. And I'm scared of everything. Like not cool, right? No one's fun. I kind of was looking forward to just hanging out at the resort and like eating three breakfasts and four lunches and two suppers, but that's okay. I was like, cool, yeah. She's like, "Well, I don't want to leave you here by yourself." And I'm like, okay, I'll come, because thinking I know something's gonna happen. Stella's gonna freak out about something, and at least I'll be there so that everyone else can enjoy their time and no one ha will have to stop having their fun because I'm not having fun anyway. I can continue not having fun while Stella is also not having fun. We get to these Mayan ruins. It is fucking hot. On a scale of one to hot, it is fucking hot, but it was super cool. Very interesting to see. And Malcolm wouldn't pose for any pictures, so I kept taking pictures of him taking pictures of stuff, which I thought was the funniest fucking thing I've ever done. And I've done some pretty funny fucking things. Okay. Leave the Mayan ruins. Stella did not want to be there. She was mad about everything. And you know, whatever it was, no one has ever been as disappointed as she was. She just constantly hurts herself, so it's not like a shock when something like that happens. Like I don't even react when she starts crying because I know it's just like, yeah, okay. You hurt yourself again today? Shocking. I'm shocked. No one cares. And all this shit. And I was just like, okay, dude. And then we get to this underground cave thing. And I am psyching myself up. Like this guy on the way out, the tour guide is like, "Okay, well, is anybody here claustrophobic? Can everyone swim?" And I'm just like, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, I'm fucking claustrophobic and I can't swim. He's like, "Well, you know, there have been people who have had panic attacks down there." And I was like, oh, fucking great. Catch Sarah's eye. I'm like, "Well, this is gonna be fucking awesome." And she's like, "You're gonna be fine. You're fine. They'll have life jackets." And I'm like, "Yeah, they'll have life jackets. I can do this. I can bob. I can be a cork. Absolutely, I can. Mom, I can't swim." That was the last time, or the second last time we went to Mexico. Malcolm was four, and I got lured into the ocean by very tall giants. And it turns out that the sand beneath my feet disappeared, and I completely panicked. And I think I had must have had like a fear grin, which is probably very scary to a 2-year-old or 3-year-old. And I grabbed onto Sarah. This was what, 2015, and I'm going to drown you, and I'm gonna float to shore on your corpse. And then Malcolm saw my face because I was like, I was serious. I am a foot shorter than you people, and no one. It occurred to no one to tell the one fat bitch that can't swim that the fucking sand disappears. Holy. "Mom, I can't swim." That's what Malcolm said when he saw my fear and desperation written all over my face, hidden by like a smile, which must have looked absolutely terrifying. Anyway, okay, I'm psyching myself up. We finish at the Mayan ruins. Stella collects herself and she becomes fun Stella again, which was great. And we're driving into the middle of fucking nowhere, and we go to this cool cave thing, and we're all putting on our life jackets, and they're really tight, man. They're really tight. and then we've got to go down like three flights of stairs. And I get down there and I'm like, cool, wow, this is like amazing. The water is like this crazy turquoise I've never ever seen before. And I'm psyching myself up to do this. And then the tour guide says, just whatever you do, don't drink the water because there are bats in here. And he flashed his light. And sure enough, there were bats in there. And nobody wanted to recreate COVID in any way, in any new way. And I was like, okay. And he's like, do not grab at the stalagmites or stalactites or whatever the hell, the ones in the top. He's like, because people who can't swim and are get afraid, they're gonna gra they grab for those, and it's not good. It's not good for you, and it's not good for the environment here. And I was like, okay. I'm like, sure, I can do this. I can still do this. And then I had Malcolm go in front of me, and I'm like, listen, if I freak out a little bit, I'm like, I'm gonna grab onto the handle on the back of your life jacket, okay? And he's like, why? And I was like, because I can't swim, and I'm freaked out down here. He's like, you'll be fine. I was like, no, but can I do that? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. And I thought, okay, great. That's a great plan. He's so nice. And he went ahead of me, and I was second, and I got my ankles in. And then I took another step down, and this water, man, this water was icy. It was freezing fucking cold, and I can see the bottom. It's like this beautiful water. Like, I've never seen anything like that. And I watched Malcolm kind of swim off, and I'm like, I won't be able to touch the ground. I won't be able to touch the ground. And then all of a sudden, it occurred to me how fucking dark it was down there. And then I saw the bats kind of making noises, and then the life jacket felt really tight. And then I couldn't breathe. It's like I couldn't get a good breath. And I'm just like, I took one more step down, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna put this down as like a nope. I'm gonna take my leave here. And I said, I turned around and I was like, looked at Sarah and I was like, no. And she's like, yep, go upstairs, no problem. And thank God, okay? There are times to negotiate with me, and there are times to absolutely not negotiate with me. I do not like when I am fucking freaked out and think I'm gonna die, and my adrenaline is pumping, and I'm scared literally for my life. Although it's, not really worth much. I don't negotiate with me then. And she knew it, and she's like, yep, see ya. And I was like, oh, phew. And then I just, every step I took back up under some very large Americans, I kept walking behind them, and then I felt the sun hit my face, and then I undid the life jacket, and I was like, okay. All right. And I stood up there, it was a good sport. I stood up there. My kids had a great experience. They weren't afraid of shit. They were very brave, and there's like this little 6 foot narrow, black as can be tunnel, and they all went through it, and I was so proud of them. And I taught my kids that, you know what? You can quit. It's okay to quit. Go ahead. You know who doesn't quit? Winners. You know who I am? Loser. Yeah, it was great. They were brave. I was very proud of them. The next stop after that was the snorkeling, and I'm really glad I came for this point because Stella Bobella, Alpha Gala Momilla, is afraid of fish. She didn't like the fish swimming around, which is kind of the whole fucking point of snorkeling. She sat on the shore with me, and everyone else got to swim for a nice half hour. And then we drove to a little, I'm gonna turn my car, a little beach club place, and I had the best fucking chicken tacos I think I have ever had. I just, man, they were so fucking good. It was just chicken seasoned with almost nothing on fresh flour tortillas with pickled onion and a squeeze of fresh lime, and they had these fucking sauces, man. I don't know what was in them. I think tomatillos, Spanish now, and like avocado. One of them was habanero. They had this queso that had habanero in it too. And you'd think, why the fuck would you ever want to eat a habanero again? Well, because they're delicious and I love them. And yeah, it was great. And then we drove back to the hotel. We had even more fun. I'm sure there's different things I can tell you about there, but there's one more story I have to tell, and I've got 4 minutes to tell it because I've got to go into my mom's house now, and I don't fucking want to. Do you ever have, like, I don't know if other cities are like Winnipeg. I just feel like I always kind of run into someone in like the weirdest places, like how a Sugar's niece bought the house that I grew up in. Like, that's the most Winnipeg thing that has ever Winnipegged in the history of Winnipeg. But another thing that happens is you run into people, like people that have been, like, you haven't seen in like 20 years. You run into them, okay? I used to work at a store. And there was a girl that worked there, was a few years older than me, and she worked in the kitchen. And then at the end of the day, she ended up, this is a long story, I'm going to contract into like 30 seconds. She ended up running that kitchen, and then we had gotten along really well. And I was like her little assistant. I wouldn't say sous chef because I had no skills really, and I wasn't very chef-like. And she, I have mixed feelings when I think back to her. We're going to call her Gwendolyn. When I think back to Gwendolyn, Sometimes I feel like we had a great time and we had a good connection and we were good friends. And then other times I feel like she didn't have my best interest at heart. She kind of was a little bit older than me, a little smarter, a little wiser. Like I think back to when I was trying to buy my first car and I had all these cars that I thought were only like 3 or 4 years old. They were nice cars, they were in good condition, and she encouraged me to buy like the shitty fucking Mustang that just would not work. That was like the worst car I've ever had. And she encouraged me, she's like, yeah, go get it, go buy it, go buy it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna go get it now because I'm fucking stupid. I was like 19. And then like I don't really remember. I think she moved, and we didn't have cell phones at that point. And she moved, and she didn't give me her number, and we just never talked again. And like she got into contact with me one time, I'd say like maybe 2000 and five, and we went out a couple times and then disconnected again, and then she contacted me again in 2008. And I was supposed to go to her house, but my friend got almost stabbed to death by her boyfriend, and I just kind of reevaluated my life and I thought, I want real friends. Like it kind of that situation like kind of snapped me out of these superficial relationships for a time. Don't get me wrong, I have plenty more relationships like that to come. But at that point, I was like, okay, she's not really been overly nice to me. I don't think she really cares about me. Maybe she's just bored. Maybe she wants like some kind of, little puppy to follow her around, and I'm not that anymore. And I just kind of called her, I was like, hey, sorry, I can't make it. And then I never offered to reschedule. I never called her again. She never called me again. And that's where we kind of left things until get into line in the bathroom at the Cancun, not Cancorn. I'm just hungry, I guess, in the Cancun airport. And we kind of just crossed paths. Like she was walking out and I was walking in. And I thought, man, is that Gwen? Fuck, that looked like her. And I'm not one to remember faces. So I was just like, oh, maybe not. And I'm also not one to really look around a whole lot. Why? Because I don't want to run into people that, like, if I don't see them and they see me and they don't want to talk to me either, then great. That's why I just like look at my feet. I just do not want to look around and catch anyone's eye. And this is exactly why. And I don't really take notice, don't take stock. Everything's fine. We meet up, everybody has a snack. And how many people are on this plane from Cancun to Winnipeg? I'm going to say like maybe 150, maybe less, maybe 175, something in there. Like enough fucking people, okay? And Malcolm and I get on the seat. Stella wanted to sit with Grandma and Sarah, and Malcolm, I have the middle seat, Malcolm has the aisle, and we're sitting there and there's a seat empty beside me. The window seat's empty. And this guy comes along, and he's like, oh, I think that's me. And I was like, okay, and get up. This guy sits down, and then as soon as he gets in his seat, he looks at me. And it's an airplane. I'm uncomfortable with how close we are to each other. And he's like basically like 6 inches from my face. And he's like, is your name Sandra? And I looked at him and I'm like, oh God. I had this like 30-second or like 3-second thought. I'm like, I look at his face and I'm like, I don't think I know this guy, but he is just generic white guy with goatee and no hair. This could be anyone. I don't recognize him, and I'm not gonna lie about it like I did that last time. And I was like, oh no. I'm like, I said, oh no, why? And he's like, oh, I think you used to work with my friend Gwendolyn. He's like, she's a girl I'm dating, Gwendolyn. And then he says her last name, and I'm like, oh. And I thought, well, good for me. I did recognize a face out of all those people. But what are the chances? Like, I did not want, like, if I never saw this woman ever again for the rest of my life until I died, I would be okay with that. Like, I was fine never ever seeing her again. And now all of a sudden, not only are we on the same plane, but I'm sitting next to her fucking boyfriend. Oh, man. Winnipeg is too Winnipeg. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, wow, that's nice. Hey, Winnipeg. Sure is small, isn't it? And he starts laughing. And I asked no more questions. I don't give a fuck about her. I don't care to know anything about her life. I don't care how long you've been dating. I put that, like, I did not talk to that guy again at all. Except the best thing about him is she's still dating fucking losers. And I'm making assumptions, but he just is j just looked rough, and he like ordered drinks, and I was just like, I don't know, man, whatever. And he kept passing gas. Like he kept like almost the whole last 45 minutes, he would just let him rip, and it smelled so bad. And like no shame from him whatsoever. It was just wafting from his side of the plane right into my fucking face. I had to turn my face towards Malcolm and like cover my mouth so I could like breathe. Just like, no fucking shame, dude, you know? Ugh, gross. Okay, so we get off the plane and I'm actively avoiding them. I'm like, Sarah's like, oh, we should all go together, to get all, like, 'cause you have to print out a declaration form, and what you're supposed to do is have all the travelers together on one sheet, all of your group. But I thought because Malcolm and I had bought tickets separately because we had a companion pass, that him and I should go together. That was a mistake. That was a mistake. Him and I get our declaration. I go to the customs officer, who's wearing a rainbow pin. Okay, she had all kinds of pins, but I caught the rainbow one. And she's like, "Who are you traveling with?" And I said, "This is my son." And she's like, "Okay, welcome back and go get your baggage." And I was like, "Okay." Sarah has a very different experience. She goes up to a guy who to smile while he said shitty things, and she's like, he asked who she was traveling with, and she said, "My daughter and my mom." And he's like, "You're not traveling with your husband?" And she's like, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "Do you have custody?" And she said, "Yes, I have custody. I gave birth to her. Do you have a letter from her father saying that she can travel with you internationally?" And he's just smiling. And she's like, "No." And he's like, "Well, you need that." And she said, "Well, I'm traveling with my partner. She's over there. This is our daughter." And he's like, "Oh." And then big pause. Okay. All right. And then he just lets them go through anyway. But it's just like, I mean, I know this is a rarity. I don't feel all that discriminated against, although had I maybe been with her, this whole thing could have been avoided. It's my fault, completely my fault. Because maybe then he would have caught what was happening right away. But also, when she told the story, I kind of got this he's a divorced dad vibe off him, just the way she said his tone of voice was and how he was smiling like that, like just really condescending and shitty, like maybe he's going through a rough divorce. I wish we all would have gotten the nice lady with the rainbow pin on her uniform. That's what I really wish. And we might have, had I not been trying to actively avoid this woman. They had that woman and her boyfriend, who likes to pass gas on tiny little planes, were right next to where Sarah was doing her sheet, so I had to run away. And then also because I thought our flight tickets were together, that we had to go together. Big mistake. We'll make that one again. That was not cool. That was not cool. That was kind of dumb. Actually, to the surprise of no one, I am dumb while trying to avoid conflict. Isn't that nice? Like, what did I think she was going to do? I saw her glance at me a few times, and I'm like, ah, you don't deserve to know me anymore. I don't want you around. I'm sorry, dude. You were shitty to me one too many fucking times. And yeah, okay, bye forever. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I'm not interested. Anyway, that was basically our trip to Mexico. I have to run inside now and clean my mom's house briefly, and then I get to go to work. And I've been up since 5:30. Isn't that fun? Oh, Coco Stanley was so happy when we came home. My niece went over, took care of my house, did a great job, didn't set the house on fire, didn't kill my dog, and she got to have a week to herself in a house by herself, which is nice. Okay. All right, that's it for me, guys. Hey, if you need anything, changeofaddresspod@gmail.com. I am buying a tortilla press. Why do you ask? Don't fucking tell me what my hyperfocus is. I'll hyperfocus on whatever the fuck I want. Okay? All right, cool. Blah blah blah. You can friend me on Facebook. There's a change of address Facebook page that you can join if you want. I'm sure I'll post something there eventually. Maybe next year. New year, new me. Am I right? Okay. Look, if you need anything, reach out. Take somebody's hand, not mine though. No way. Not interested. I'm here. Okay? You want to be friends? I'll be your friend. Just don't be a cunt, okay? I'm tired, man. I don't have energy for any more shitty people in my life. I'm shitty enough. Okay? Love you. Mean it. Okay. Okay, call you later. Okay, bye now. Bye.